Good morning. Welcome to this morning's edition of the Rich Urban Show. We're very happy to continue this interview of primary candidates. Today we have Richie Robb. He's the Democrat candidate for Attorney General. And please introduce yourself.
Well, my name's Richie Robb. I'm the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, as Richard said. I'm running an issue-oriented campaign, and I try to mix that with my background. My primary issue are utility rates. I want the Attorney General's office to try to level the playing field on utility rates. We have the fourth highest in the country, and like I say, I want to level the playing field. These large corporations every year are raising utility rates in West Virginia. Attorney General's office needs to step up on that. Another thing I want to do is to particularly emphasize fraud detection, fraud prevention in the consumer protection arm of that office. And it's going to get even bigger with artificial intelligence. And we need to show the fraudsters out there, and there are plenty of them, as we know, that you're not going to be coming into West Virginia. My background, just briefly, I was mayor in South Charleston, 8 consecutive terms. I've practiced law for 40 years. Yeah, I was a veteran. I'm a veteran, awarded the Bronze Star in Vietnam. In the course of the campaign, I've also discovered, well, I knew this, but I didn't. But people have emphasized it to me, the opioid crisis. And, if we're going to have a war on drugs, we need to have a war on drugs, not just simply arresting dealers out there after the fact. And I think all agencies of all governments, including the federal government, including the military, need to participate in this struggle. As Attorney General, I'll be advocating that. I could go on and on, but go ahead.
Okay, that's a good start.
For now, Richard.
All right. So the utility rates, I know what you're talking about. Here in Jefferson County, Jefferson Utilities was purchased by I think the West Virginia American Water. I think I've got that right, the name. And the rates went up immediately 58%. So, I mean, and there was some hearing about it. I wasn't present. And I know that there's been some meetings at Jefferson County, people talking about that. I guess so. What I want to ask you is, what could the Attorney General actually do? Apparently, it's not like illegal, or is it? I mean, what can be done?
Well, you're right. It's not illegal, but it's done a lot. As you know, 58% is pretty substantial, but more will be coming. What the Attorney General's office can do is this. First of all, these rates are approved by the Public Service Commission down in Charleston. And there are two things that the utilities go through. One is the Public Service Commission staff itself, and then there's about a 10-person consumer advocate department. Well, these utilities, like the water company that you're facing in Jefferson County, are backed by probably trillion-dollar corporations, engineers, accountants, attorneys. They just pound the Public Service Commission year after year. I propose to bring the Attorney General's office into that mix to try to level the playing field. Also to explore more strongly appeals on these rate increases. I don't see appeals being made to the state Supreme Court hardly ever. And I think that needs to be done too. Is that going to tip the playing field? Well, it'll tip it some. It still won't be equal, because these are huge corporations that are pounding state agencies. But I think it will certainly help, and I will employ staff members and recruit staff members who can try to level that playing field.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That sounds like a good idea, because I think you're right. There could be more advocacy from the customer viewpoint, which is what it should be all about in the issues like these big rate increases. I mean, 50%. Wow. Okay.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it sure
That's a bit
is.
that's and they'll be coming with more and more and more. Sometimes it seems like they're applying for rate increases every year, and that there hasn't been an approval or disapproval of the increase, and here comes another rate increase. It's just time and time and time again. And here's something else, Richard. I don't think the big tornado hit the Eastern Panhandle 2 or 3 weeks ago like it did most of the rest of the state. But what did we learn after that tornado that knocked out a lot of, made a lot of power outages across the state? We not only have the fourth highest rates in the country, we have the highest number of power outages. And utility and the Public Service Commission is, well, we're going to investigate that too. Well, I'm not knocking them, but we just don't have the state resources to combat these big utilities. The Attorney General's office will add another punch to the public arm.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to me there's a pretty cozy relationship. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, between the regulatory agency, I guess the Public Service Commission, and the utilities. I once had like a complaint, a minor complaint, like I got charged, for, they said I used whatever 10,000 gallons of water out during the winter, and this was at a house, where the water was basically, it was under construction. And so they investigated, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, I had to pay anyway. Anyway, do you have any comment on that? It seems to be a kind of a friendly relationship between the Public Service Commission and these utilities versus, being more on the consumer side or more balanced. Or do you have any opinion or am I wrong?
Unfortunately, Richard, it seems as if you're absolutely correct. There is always that danger. The utilities are before the Public Service Commission all the time, and their personnel are there all the time. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're also answering to stockholders around the world who, of course, want to boost their profits. There are allegations constantly out there, or a suspicion that the Public Service Commission is in the pocket of the utilities, and I will have to concede in many cases it looks as if these suspicions are correct, and there needs to be a balance on behalf of taxpayers, on behalf of users, and it doesn't appear as if we're getting it. So the perception that people like yourself have and across the state, I am not disputing that. I don't dispute it at all, and I believe there needs to be aggressive counterpunch to the utilities.
Okay, fair enough. Good description. So you
In fact,
mentioned,
if I
go ahead.
might add,
Yeah.
I was in Jefferson County this weekend. There's a gentleman in Charlestown, Walter Washington. Don't know if you all know him. In fact, he's related to George Washington,
Okay.
and he worked in consumer advocacy both in South Dakota and Texas. He said in South Dakota, when he was there, they had a pretty strong consumer advocacy division, and it worked pretty well. Then, when he went to Texas, the utilities ran over top of the consumers. So, there are people out there, and I told Walter, I said, "Look, if I'm in office, I'm going to utilize your expertise." He's retired now, but he's still got a good head on his shoulders.
Okay, excellent. All right, you also mentioned the opioid epidemic. And so what do you see the role of the Attorney General in combating that? Or how do you see it?
Well, what I would see with combating the opioid crisis is, number one, it's nationwide. Number two, it's particularly devastating in West Virginia. The Attorney General's office sits on a with attorney generals nationwide. I will propose to that group and the federal government that we get in and fight this problem at the source. You know, we've had including the military, you know, we've had a, what I would say, a pretty successful war against terrorism since 9/11. That's 20 plus years. There's no reason why the military can't come in and commit the same resources they've committed and intelligence sources to the war against opioids, illegal drugs, fentanyl, to the same extent. I mean, we're sending, we're apprehending ships at sea. We have drones monitoring terrorist camps. You know, we need to do the same. We need to do the same in with drugs. You know, trying to combat the problem once they're out on the streets of America isn't enough. We need to take a proactive role and take it to the source, working with other countries like we do on terrorism. But they're destroying America. Well, they're taking a real blow against America. If it's a war on drugs, we have a war on terrorism. Let's do likewise. And I will make that effort toward all the other attorney generals, the other 49, as well as the federal government, particularly the military and the intelligence sources, because I think, you know, I was in intelligence in Vietnam. I follow it closely now in my post-military career. I got a Bronze Star in that. We did a good job apprehending enemy forces there. We've done a great job since 9/11, or a pretty darn good job. We need to do it in combating drugs as well.
So one question about that, you know, so it's my understanding that a lot of fentanyl is pouring over the border. And now, you know, especially with the Biden administration, people and no doubt drugs are pouring over the border. Isn't that a major issue?
Well, absolutely. If there are people carrying drugs in over the border, you know, that's a problem. That certainly needs to be better addressed than what it's being done. But here's what I don't believe is being done at all, and that is taking the fight to the source. In other words, those people who are producing fentanyl, whether they be in China or packaging it in Latin America, we need to be looking at them too. If it's a war against drugs, you don't just sit back on defense and try to catch them as they come over the Rio Grande or come into some isolated seaport. You need to take it to where it's being made, to where it's being packaged. We do that against terrorism. Let's do it against drugs as well. We provide foreign aid to these countries. We provide cooperative agreements.
That's a good
cooperative
point.
Agreements. Let's take the fight beyond the border.
I agree. That should be leveraged. One question also related is maybe not the purview of the attorney general, but isn't really the core issue, I mean, more than the externally, the drugs coming in, the demand for drugs, meaning like if I would argue, and also I think statistics borne out, like if families are stronger, if you have more husband, wife, families intact, then all, you know, then, and we have 47% outside of wedlock births in West Virginia. So if families are more intact, then there's going to be less demand for drugs, because if the family's more stable, then those risk behaviors, whether it's having sex or having suicidal thoughts or all those kind of things, smoking, drinking alcohol, using drugs, there would be less demand to begin with. Again, I don't know what the attorney general can do. Maybe it's a bully pulpit. That's not really maybe a legal issue. But what are your thoughts on that in any case?
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. And this was predicted. This was predicted years ago by the late senator from New York, Daniel Patrick Moynihan. He was talking about the disintegration. Back then, he was talking about the disintegration of the African American families in America, but that same disintegration is now gone nationwide. It's a huge problem. It is the core of the issue. The bully pulpit definitely needs to be done. We need to strengthen the family. We need to recognize that. One of the things I think in addition to that that has come in the last 10 or so years has been the social media invading our youth. That's just torn it apart even more. But there is no question about it, Richard, that if we could get to the core issue is strengthening the American family. We need to do more there than all we can. And I think we need to ignore than just the bully pulpit. We need to support families. We need to promote family unity, promote family strength. One of the things I think needs to be done on that is economics. If incomes are reduced, that becomes a problem for families too. So we need to support that across the board as well.
Okay, very well. That's true. I'm getting a lot of resonance on that across the board with all different kinds of candidates. It is crucial. You mentioned your priorities about utilities and opioids. What about one of the priorities, I think, of the current attorney general has been to fight against the EPA regulations. And another one just came out, I believe it was the 25th, Thursday, that would basically throttle or shut down all our coal plants, by my understanding. It's putting these incredibly high demands, saying that within, I don't know, I guess it's like 15 years or something. Let's see, it's 20. Yeah, anyway, within in the future, they would have to increase or decrease the pollutants to such an extent that my understanding is it would be unfeasible. Would you fight those regulations, or what's your view on that?
Well, and that's a touchy issue here in West Virginia, of course, where fossil fuels are a primary industry. But at the same time, the protecting the environment is important as well. I would take a look at those federal regulations, scrutinize them very, very, very carefully. Would there be what sometimes I think may be a knee-jerk reaction to opposing those regulations? Not necessarily so, but I know in my years when I was mayor, I combated environmental regulations to make them more reasonable, more practical. Yeah, I would do the same here, but I would not necessarily take a stance that a federal regulation is necessarily bad. I would look at it carefully, look to modify it, look to tweak it if necessary, but certainly would review federal regulations coming down that affect West Virginians.
Well, have you looked at the one that just came out? I didn't read in detail, but I've heard some people talking about it, understand a little about it. What do you think about the one that just came out Thursday?
I have not looked at that. In fact, Friday morning, I was on my way up to the Eastern Panhandle and just got back last night. So I have not looked at that, but commit the same, the same criteria I just discussed as looking at those type of regulations as to how they affect all West Virginians, not just a particular group of West Virginians, but all of us.
Okay. So we're talking about opioids. On another topic of like pharma companies, I mean, part of that has been, I think the distribution of different substances by pharmaceutical companies. My question is regarding liability for damage from pharmaceutical products and specifically the COVID shots. Would you be inclined, like for instance the Florida Attorney General has, to take steps to hold pharmaceutical companies liable for damages from COVID shots?
I know a little bit about what they're doing in Florida, not much. That's a tough one. I've got to, a lot of this, these things are, quote, what I say are after the fact. And even with the fentanyl and opioid in West Virginia, I want to be more proactive. On the damages from the COVID shot, I would certainly look at that. But there's got to be a certain appreciation for what this country was going through, this world was going through 3, 4 years ago when it hit. There's no question that the United States and the world, for that matter, was unprepared. It appears as if Florida did some things. They evaluated the problem perhaps a little more rationally when we were going through that, as far as shots, as far as isolation, and things like that. But again, we're here with after the fact. What damage has the COVID shots created? Well, for me personally, after the second COVID shot, I developed blood clots. I was hospitalized
Wow.
and told not to take any more COVID shots. I did not. I got a bad case of COVID. I was hospitalized with the COVID again, and have still been seeing a round of physicians, ever since. It went from 90 days to 6 months. Knock on wood, I hope I'm getting better, but I've got to have an appreciation for the American, for the world medical community trying to tackle this. It was something that hit us 100 years earlier. I hope we're better prepared now. It certainly educated us to the dire circumstances and predicaments of this type of situation. But am I going to say let's sue this pharmaceutical company for something on that behalf? We can look at that. There are also private attorneys out there that can look into it as well. They seem to be able to pick up on those type of situations pretty well themselves.
Okay, all right. That's an understandable answer. So this back in 2020, there were, I think, 17 attorney generals who joined Texas in a friend of the court brief regarding the 2020 election results in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I think also our attorney general also did, So the point is, they were joining in a friend of the court brief to look into the election results in those states that there was, could have been, or ostensibly may have been fraud. So would you have joined that friend of the court brief if you were attorney general?
Well, after the election results, November 2020,
Right.
then President Trump launched as many as 100 100 lawsuits, which his campaign and he were entitled to do. I don't think they won any of them. Many of the repercussions of those lawsuits are still going on across the country. I read of one recently, in Arizona. Again, there were 100 lawsuits. They had every right in the world to join those lawsuits. As far as what was being joined by the other 17 attorney generals, as far as in this country or as far as in this state, I would have certainly looked at it. I would have certainly looked at it. If there's something wrong being done, then it needs to be looked at. I first looked at West Virginia. Apparently, there was nothing challenged in West Virginia. Apparently, it was felt to be okay. But the integrity of elections is critical to the democracy of our country, critical to the democracy of West Virginia. Under the you know, under those circumstances where it didn't appear there was a problem in West Virginia, it's not likely, you know, I would have joined, but certainly if there was wrongdoing, they're entitled to do that. The Trump campaign was entitled to make their lawsuits across the country. It doesn't appear as we're sitting here nearly 4 years later that there was significant validity to those lawsuits.
Well, about half the country disagrees with you, but that's not the
well
topic
okay
today.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, so all righty, okay, that's clear enough. Are you still hearing me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, my computer glitched. I didn't know, suddenly went
well, you're,
black.
I don't know if it's your computer or my ears, but I can still hear you.
That's good. That's great. Okay. So do you have any opinion about here in, I noticed on the Attorney General's website, West Virginia, it says one of the roles of the Attorney General is providing advice and consultation to county prosecuting attorneys. That's on the, you know, the website for the West Virginia Attorney General. So here we've had a controversy in Jefferson County. You may or may not have heard about it. Maybe you did, where the prosecuting attorney has taken action to remove two of our five county commissioners. And a lot of us are very upset about that. Now, they did, from my understanding, commit some misdemeanors. They were doing a protest and didn't show up for meetings. And now they've returned to the meetings, but the prosecutor has filed the case to remove them. Now, if you care to, or if you have an opinion on it, would you give any advice to the local prosecutor, like regarding that kind of case? Or yeah, I'm not. Are you aware of that case in any?
I have a little bit of familiarity with the case. One of the things one has to do when running statewide is have a little bit of knowledge of what's going on around the rest of the state, and that one I have a little bit of knowledge of. Plus, I was in Jefferson County this weekend. Prosecutorial authority lies exclusively in West Virginia with the local prosecutor. Now, what I would propose as Attorney General is to assist those prosecutors where there may be necessary, because smaller counties, much smaller than Jefferson County, need the assistance. In this type of situation, it appears as if, you know, that the prosecuting attorney in Jefferson County, whose name escapes me, but that's
Matt
an
Harvey.
Office. Okay, that's a county, a pretty sophisticated county with a pretty solid government in it. I think it'll be vigorously defended. I think it'll be vigorously prosecuted. You know, if I were Attorney General, I would certainly not intervene. If the prosecutor solicits my assistance, I would certainly look into it. If the defendants solicit my assistance, I would look into it. But not knowing the specific details, it's not likely that that would be my intervention.
Yeah. Well, it just caught my attention, that phrase, providing advice and consultation. I think the current Attorney General declined to also to give any opinion on it. Of course, that's, I guess, like you say, it's mostly the local prosecutor, although the current Attorney General is from this county. Okay, I was just wondering if you had an opinion about it. Well, as you're winding down, thank you anyway for sharing that. What differentiates you from your opponents? I know you do have one, well, I guess singular opponent. You have one, at this point, let's just focus on the primary opponent since we're not, you know, into the general election yet. What distinguishes you from your primary opponent?
Well, what I would distinguish from my primary opponent, as well as the Republican candidates, is I am the only candidate out there who's providing a concrete platform. Battle the utilities, level the playing field, tackle consumer fraud with artificial intelligence and the internet is coming at us daily, and it'll be coming at us even more. Battle the opioid crisis in an affirmative action, make it truly a war on drugs. None of the other attorney general candidates are doing that. They're saying, vote for me. I've got these qualifications. I've got these credentials. I've got this support. And that's all well and good. I've got qualifications and credentials as well. What are you going to do when you get in the office? None of them have said it. I saw one first television ad last night talking about woke. I would challenge that candidate to say, well, can anybody in the room define that? What's that mean? West Virginia values. What's that mean? What are you going to do when you're there? And, you know, let's put some concrete issues out there. I'm the only one that's doing that. None of the others are.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, then if you have any concluding remarks, otherwise we'll wind it up. I do appreciate your time, and I think, you know, we've covered some very important questions, and I really thank you. Would you like to share anything else?
I think that's pretty much it, Richard. You know, everybody wants to get it again. I've got a practice law going on 5 decades. You know, I've been in local government, elected 8 straight times. You know, I've handled every kind of case in the book. I put my name on the ballot, people vote for me, fine. It's an honor to be running. It's an honor to express a platform. I wish my opponents had some issues, but they don't. Vote for me because of me. Well, that doesn't say what they're going to do when they're in office, and they generally don't seem to do much except promote personal agendas. I'm going to propose a public agenda.
Okay, well stated. Well, thank you very much again for coming on. And we'll make this available on any podcast platform at The Richard Urban Show. It'll also be on our video format on visionroot.org. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. And keep up God's work out there, Richard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Will do.